Hello, friends. Put on your beach hat and hop a flight to St. John. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books, too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to Blame It on Buffett. This week, I have some really awesome guests, Castaway Crystal and Rumshop Ryan from the Caribbean Castaways. We'll get to their interview in just a minute, but first I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. The first thing I want to do is, I should be doing this every episode, honestly, but I always forget, is giving a shout out to Kelly McGuire for letting me, for giving me his blessing to use Blame It on Buffett as the name of my podcast. I wouldn't have this podcast, probably. I mean, it would be called something else, but it wouldn't be as good. And also, he lets me use his song, Blame It on Buffett, for the intro music, which I really appreciate because, once again, just embodies that spirit of what the podcast is going for. So thank you, Kelly. And then also thanks again to Cameron Hood, who did my logo design. You can check out his graphic design work and what he can do for you on his website, which if you go to my show, not like the show notes for the individual episodes, but like the actual main show notes. You can see his website there and Kelly McGuire's website. So thanks guys. I really appreciate your help in getting this podcast started. This is the 15th episode, which is exciting. I wasn't really sure how long I would keep this going, but especially because of quarantine, it's really been a fun thing to do. And yeah, I'm enjoying it. So I'm planning on doing it for however long I can, I guess. And then just a couple other things. I want to mention that my friend Dan Smith from Classic Buffett, the Classic Buffett Instagram account, you can see his episode. I did an interview with him a couple episodes ago, so go check that out. He just started his own podcast. It's called Stories We Could Tell. It's about like life in Key West during the Jimmy Buffett Key West era. So it's all about Jimmy Buffett, but kind of specifically Key West Jimmy Buffett. I think it's going to be really cool. He has some awesome guests lined up. I'm the first guest, so obviously that was awesome. Just kidding. But it was really fun. And I really appreciate him having me on as his first guest. I do love Jimmy Buffett and I do love Key West. So it was really fun to talk about that with him. Please go and listen to that. It's up on Anchor right now, but should be up on the other podcasting platform soon. So you can, if you go to @classic_Buffett, which is his Instagram account, you can find the link there to go listen to the podcast. So yeah, please go check that out. And then also another person that I mentioned on the last episode, but I didn't mention his like handle or anything, which I totally goofed it, who felt inspired to start his own thing after listening to my episode with Mark, which I thought was really awesome, has his first, I guess, teaser or something you could call it up now for his new podcast that he's starting. Surf Charleston is his handle on Instagram, and then also what the podcast is going to be about. So go check that out. I think that's going to be kind of a lifestyle podcast as well, but specifically kind of like surfing related stuff, Charleston specific. But I still think it'll be really cool to listen to if you're into that kind of thing. And honestly, like I've never been to Charleston. It's kind of on my list of places in the United States that I really want to visit. So to get to hear more about the local culture there, I think is really exciting. So yeah, check his stuff out as well. And I think that is all of the housekeeping things I wanted to do. So now let's get into the interview. I had a great time talking to these guys. What they do is really cool, I think, and useful for people that are interested in the Caribbean, want to travel to the Caribbean. You know, they do everything from helping you plan your itinerary to, as you'll hear, they have like a cocktail book, they have a podcast, like they have everything that you might want to have information about the Caribbean in that format. So please enjoy this interview with Castaway Crystal and Rum Shop Ryan. Welcome to this week's episode of Blame It on Buffett. My guests this week, and I have two of them, which is very exciting, are Rum Shop Ryan and Castaway Crystal from the Caribbean Castaways empire, I guess you would call it. How do you describe all the things you do?
I don't know. It's just we like to dabble in a lot of things and share our pictures, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, podcasts, websites. We love sharing it all.
Yeah. We have the YouTube channel too. Yeah, we're just trying to hit every place we can on social media, basically.
Yeah, that seems like kind of the way to do it these days. If you have something you want to get out there, you kind of have to put it on all the things. Otherwise, you might be missing some people right. That only listen to podcasts or only watch YouTube or whatever the thing is. How did you start? Okay, well, I guess let's back up. For people that have never heard of Caribbean Castaways before, obviously, you talk a lot about how you got started and that kind of thing on your own podcast, but just for people that may not have listened to that or might not have heard of you, do you want to just give like a quick overview of what you do and what Caribbean Castaways is?
Sure. So Caribbean Castaways is basically a resource that people can use to hopefully so they can have a better Caribbean vacation. We really, really love traveling the islands and experiencing the off the tourist trail type stuff.
Yeah.
And we want other people to experience those things, you know, get away from the ports and get away from the big resort properties and go explore. And so we really want to share those type of things, whether it's, you know, secret little beaches or, you know, local rum bars or beach bars or anything like that. We just want to show people the
realness, real true vibes of the islands and not just the tourist attractions.
Yeah. Yeah. We love sharing it all. And, the hearing other people's, I guess, stories from stuff that they went to go see based on some of our recommendations and how happy that made them. I think that's why we do what we do, is to really get those types of reactions and just help people. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it must be great to have something that you really love and are passionate about on your own and then be able to take that and share it with people and have that impact, like how they plan their vacation or the things they do, and then have them really enjoy that. I know it's always easier to run a business sort of if you're like really care and are really passionate about the thing. The Caribbean is... there's so many islands and there's so many like little things to do on all the islands. Like you said, like you can easily find sort of the touristy things, but there's definitely a ton of off the beaten path things to do everywhere that you might not know about if you don't, you know, have someone to guide you, or if you don't like ask your taxi guy, like, hey, what's the cool thing to do?
Right. Yeah.
So how did you decide to, or I don't, maybe it wasn't really like a conscious decision, but how did it become such a big, because you have, like you said, you have, you know, the website, you have a podcast now, you have all these things and you've been doing it for a while. Like what made you sort of take that leap into trying to make like a full go of it?
Yeah, I would say it all started back in 2009, and I took a vacation down there for a wedding to the St. John in the USVI in the Virgin Islands. And I was living in Florida at the time, and I thought Florida was beautiful, but it's nothing compared to the Virgin Islands. And I was completely blown away. And when I was down there, I was making all these mental notes as like, I need to figure out a way to get down here as much as humanly possible without going broke. And the only thing I knew was building websites a little bit and marketing. And so I started to put those wheels in motion. And, you know, 10 years later, I get joined by my beautiful wife, Castaway Crystal. And she loves, you know, the beaches and the lifestyle just as much as I do. And it's so much fun to share it with somebody. I used to take a lot of solo trips down there, which I love solo travel, but having somebody to, you know, share the islands with and those experiences is, I think, the greatest thing ever.
And how did you guys get, because you have very fun nicknames, so how did you get the nicknames Rum Shop Ryan and Castaway Crystal? Did you just like, we want nicknames, or did they sort of like develop organically?
Well, he actually started out when he first started his blog, it was Rum Shop Ryan and rumshopryan.com. So, and then the whole thing with the rum shops is that was kind of like the local hangouts that people go to discuss, you know, politics, you know, sports, whatever's going on today, sports. And it was just, you know, that's what he wanted the community to be, that everybody comes together on rumshopryan.com to talk about their love of their islands and travel and things like that. Then when I came into play, I started in 2016 with him, like when we first started dating. And I don't know why we like what's that word called? It was like the CC or the RR, like going together, but like just something that would go good with it.
Alliteration.
And we always, you know, we already call our readers or followers castaways. So I'm like, well, Castaway Crystal just kind of goes together. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah. It like definitely has a fun, both of the, like having those nicknames like has a fun like ring to it, and it makes it like you're more like personalities, right? Than just like, oh, it's just like some people that are telling us what to do. It's like, right. Oh, it's Rum Shop Ryan and Castaway Crystal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we want it to be super fun because, you know, we're really laid back people and we're easygoing, and we want to be as, you know, down to earth and as authentic as we can. And I think the little names are kind of fun, but
yeah.
Yeah, I also, I know you have, I want to encourage people to go listen to your podcast too. And there's an episode, so your first episode, you sort of introduce yourselves and talk about that a lot. And then there's also an fairly recent episode where you talk about the behind the scenes stuff a lot, which is really interesting to me. And I think that's really cool that you guys did that, because I think that kind of transparency makes people more interesting and more human, you know, like in our society where there's tons of, you know, people that are like influencers, if you want to call it that, or, you know, bloggers or that kind of thing. And it's like, everything seems like so perfect. It's kind of nice to get that behind the scenes peek. So I want to encourage people to go listen to that, because you do talk a lot more about, what sort of goes on behind the scenes and all of that. And we don't need to like rehash all of that right now, but right. I did want to just bring up that you did. So you had another project right before this, Ryan, you had another project before Caribbean Castaways, and that's kind of like what initially got you started. Is that right?
Yeah. I had a little business called Menu Venue SWFL way back, man, 12, 13 years ago. And I really like hole in the wall restaurants, you know, get away from the chains. And I was like, you know, let's start a blog and write about restaurants. And it was really cool. It's like you go into a restaurant and they know who you are and you get free food. And that was like the biggest benefit I liked, just the free food. But a lot of things happened with that. You know, I wasn't as savvy as a business person, you know, back then. I lost the business and made some terrible decisions. But everything I learned by failing at that, I think, has helped me create the Caribbean Castaways with Crystal. And, you know, like you said, it's not always the pretty pictures online on Instagram. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind that. And Crystal has to do all this Photoshop and Lightroom editing. And, you know, when we're actually in the islands, it's not always our feet in the sand, you know.
Right. It's not really a vacation. So I guess it was nice just to tell people, you know, what really goes on behind the scenes. Cause, you know, people see a picture and they're like, oh, we want your life. You have the best life, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's like,
be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. And then it's funny, cause if you know, like I said before, like what really goes on behind that really pretty picture and how we kind of had maybe a little creative differences or a tiny little spat, snips. You know, little sniffs at each other. But it's like, we're like, oh, look at that pretty picture. But there's always more behind a photo than what you actually see online, you know?
So. Yeah. And I think that is, like I said, on Instagram, right? And in the sort of materials that you present, like you do want to be like, that is what makes people want to, well, especially like on Instagram, like people want to see pretty pictures, right?
Right.
So like that is important too. But I do think that like people look at that sometimes and think like, oh, like they just have it so easy and they just so like hang out in the Caribbean all the time. And that's not necessarily the case for people like you or other people that do this kind of blogging and I know like you both don't do this full time, but generally speaking, when you put this much work into it, it's never as easy and cool as it seems from like you, I mean, like you want the viewer to feel that way. Right. Cause you want them to feel like it's like when they're looking at the pictures, it's like, oh, this is so relaxing and whatever. But I think a podcast is a perfect place to kind of talk about those like behind the scenes kind of things, because it does show people who are just like, oh, I just have it so easy. And they're just like living in the Caribbean. And like, I'm stuck in wherever, you know, working my ass off. And like, it's not really like you guys are also working your asses off. Yeah. So I think that's good for people to know. So I highly recommend that if you're listening to this, go and check out their podcast. You can find it on their website. You can find it on Spotify, all the places that you listen to podcasts. And the other thing I really love about your podcast is, and you just started doing your podcast recently, right? Like earlier
this year.
We started first of the year. So January, the first week of January is when it launched.
Right. So it was kind of before COVID, but kind of prescient, because that's like a good thing to be able to put out when you can't actually go anywhere, to like be able to talk about things.
Right.
Yeah. I think, we might've got a little lucky with that, but man, it's just when your whole life or business, like I do this full time. Well, Crystal is a massage therapist still, but like I quit my job in December and I was making, you know, a decent amount of revenue from the website. And I was like, okay, now's the time. And then boom, you know, COVID, March hit me in the face pretty hard. And so like, it's been a scramble, but, it's, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's still, you know, extremely rewarding. And again, it's just all about helping other people, you know, see the islands like we get to see them, and seeing those looks and expressions on their faces. And it just, it makes everything, all the hardships and everything, so much worthwhile.
Yeah. And that's the thing that what I was going to say about your podcast too, that I love, is that even though, say, you're putting out an episode now about X thing, about like what to do on a specific island, or you know, what to do if you're getting off the cruise ship in Key West, or you know, you have all these different episodes about different types of things. I love that a lot of them, most of them, are very sort of like recommendation focused. So it really makes them kind of evergreen, where even if people aren't traveling right now, like whenever we can travel again, it's so easy to go back and just like scroll through the titles of your podcast episodes and be like, oh, hey, this one seems like it would actually be really relevant to, you know, whatever trip, X trip that we're going to take. And I like that. I have kind of a problem with, I just sort of like to talk to people. So like my podcasts tend to be longer, but I do think especially for the kind of content that your, a lot of your episodes have, like having like a really easily digestible 20 minutes of recommendations about what to do on St. John or wherever, is like such a great thing and such a great like resource for people to have, that they can just easily quickly access that information. And maybe it's not as formal as, you know, emailing you guys and being like, hey, I'm going on a trip, can you help me with like an itinerary? Because that's something you do too, right?
Correct. Yeah, we do trip plans and stuff like that to actually give them the recommendations and tell them the secret beaches and awesome beach bars and things like that. But yeah, I think I read somewhere when I was doing all this research for the podcast that I think the average drive time in the U.S. is around 20, 25 minutes. So if we can get an episode into that drive time when people are commuting, that's why we kind of aim for the 20 minute mark. But we have friends who...
We have one friend, her name's Natalie, and she's always like, I just wish it was longer. We're like, maybe one day. Like, I think we have one that's like 52 minutes, and I think that's as long as we've gotten. I told her, like, an hour, we'll dedicate it to you.
Clearly, like, I have no problem with very long podcasts. I think obviously, like, if people like you as, you know, personalities and like being fun to listen to, which is totally the case. Like listening to your podcast isn't just like, oh, I need information. It's like, oh, it's enjoyable to hear you guys talk about stuff. Once you get to that level with people who are listening, people always will listen to as much, or they'll be a lot happier being like, oh yeah, it's an hour and a half. Fine. I'll listen to that. Cause like, I like listening to you guys talk. But just for the sake of like people who might just be wanting like some tips on something, like having some of those episodes be that little bit shorter, especially the ones that are like, you know, here's the 10 things that you want to see on this island, or here's the 10 things you need to do or whatever. I think that's definitely like really marketable in terms of people being like, oh, I can just listen to this for 20 minutes and like know everything, like all the things I should do on a certain island. So I think that's really cool. And I've been really enjoying the podcast too. Like because I make this podcast, I don't really listen to podcasts as much as I used to. But definitely when I find one that's like, especially right now, cause I'm stuck in my house, you know, it's about like hearing people talk about the Caribbean. Like that's my jam.
Yeah,
right.
It's so, so refreshing. And, you know, we listen to you as well. And I really like the recent one that you did with Backyards of Key West. Like I didn't know anything about Mark. And so we followed him on Instagram, you know, start seeing all these amazing Key West houses. We are huge fans of Key West and go down there as much as we can. But like, that was a cool introduction to something I didn't know. So your podcast made that happen. And it's so cool how you go down these rabbit holes where one podcast leads to another, then to another through all these recommendations. And it's all the same kind of vibe, you know, Blame It on Buffett to Backyards Key West to Castaways to, you know, Visit Key West. It's a cool little web of island fun, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't
know. Well, I really appreciate that. And I did not expect you to actually listen to, like, there's no obligation for guests to actually listen to this podcast, to be honest. So I appreciate that. But yeah, I'm glad it's definitely, I feel like, I guess the point of the podcast and kind of what you just said, and as you, as people like who really like the Caribbean, also really like Key West, like that's the kind of the idea behind it, is it's about a lot of different things, but all of those things are mostly going to appeal to a certain kind of person, right? The person that is in it 100% for that escapism life, right? Which clearly you guys are. So. Yeah.
And that was one of the good things when we talk about the escapism, is that when we were all on lockdown from like March to June, you know, we had a lot of people tell us, they were like, you know, thank you so much for posting these pictures, because I didn't have anything to do. So I was really posting every day, which now that I'm back to work, it's hard to do it every single day, but I try. But it really helped people out while they were all locked inside to have something to dream about or to think about something else other than COVID and all this misery that we're dealing with, you know? So that felt really good that we could, you know, give that to them. And it's the same thing with the podcast. And again, like, thank you so much for liking it so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's totally true. Like what you were saying before is like you know, Ryan, you just had quit your full-time job to like make this your full-time job. And then COVID hit, which on one hand, like you can't really do the thing it is you do, which is go travel the Caribbean and like learn about places and whatever. But on the other hand, people need that kind of escape, like the escape that your Instagram photos provide, the escape that your podcast provides, even more than usual right now, because even more than usual, people are stuck in their own houses and can't go out on their own trips. So I think even though there's probably some negative there, there's probably also some positive in that, like, people need you guys and what you do more than ever in a certain way right now. So I think that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you.
Not to put you on the spot, we didn't talk about this beforehand. It's totally okay if you're not into Jimmy Buffett. There's no obligation to be into Jimmy Buffett. Do you care about Jimmy Buffett? Or I know you mentioned on your podcast, like you're into like Kenny Chesney and stuff. So I feel like there's kind of like some crossover there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because when you first asked us to come on, Ryan has been to a few Buffett concerts and he's a Buffett fan. And sure, like I like a few of his songs, but I'm like, do I have to study up on Buffett? Do I need to pick a favorite song? Like I was getting nervous. They're like, we need to know everything we need to know about Buffett before this podcast.
Yeah, no, the podcast is very loosely about Jimmy Buffett. And yeah, definitely you in no way there's no obligation to be a Jimmy Buffett fan. And actually I meant to ask you this before the podcast and not just put you on the spot, but is there other, like, what are some of your favorite like escapism music to listen to? It doesn't have to be Jimmy Buffett.
I really like the island music. So we listen to a lot of Soggy Dollar Radio. So that's Yost Van Dyke. And that's full of great country music, you know, real reggae and soca and calypso. And so you get that really awesome mix of like fun country and then like island music. And that's what I listen to a lot.
It's a great vibe. I love that. Yeah. Is it Jesse Rice or the Pirate Session?
Yeah, Jesse Rice. Yeah.
Yeah. We really like him. You met him once, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. And who are the other ones that are the, I can't even think of their names right now. The brothers.
Brothers Osborne. Yeah. Oh, then there's the guys out of California. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but they're really, really good. And they're on Soggy Dollar all the time, too.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot here. I just was like, I want to talk about. But actually, yeah, Jesse Rice played a house concert here in Tucson, and I couldn't go because I think I was at Disneyland or something that weekend. But so he's actually one that I've seen a lot of sort of the what we call trop rock musicians in person because they do like a lot of house concerts and stuff. But I have yet to see him. So I would really like to see him a lot in concert for sure.
Yeah, I saw him in his little group Pirate Sessions. It was down in Key West, and it was during the Songwriters Festival that they do down there. And he was performing on the bow of one of the Fury catamarans that goes out during sunset.
Oh, nice.
So they were all set up on the bow, and it was like four guys playing the Pirate Sessions music. The sun was going down in the harbor. We were floating by Sunset Key. It was like Mallory Square's right there. It was like, man, it's like one of those pinch me type moments. And it was super cool. So that's my favorite Jesse Rice Pirate Session story.
Yeah, that sounds very magical. I feel like all the things that happen in Key West are magical.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys a little bit about like what you, obviously your whole podcast or your whole show, not show, what your the whole thing that you do is about focused on the Caribbean. You do have, like you said, you do love Key West. I know you have like a podcast episode about Key West. And but what are your, if you could narrow it down, I know it's maybe like, you know, trying to ask you to pick your favorite child or whatever, but do you have a favorite island of all the islands that you've been to?
We do. We'd probably have to say it's St. John. Yeah. That's the one we always try to go to at least once a year. And that's part of the USVI, the U.S. Virgin Islands. It's just such an awesome spot because most of it is national forest. So you get the hills, you get lots of trails, and you
beaches.
It's beaches, and it's not tarnished by like high rises and like tons of businesses or anything like that. Like it's just very pristine and peaceful there. And then the other great thing about it is that it's so close to the other Virgin Islands and the British Virgin Islands that you can kind of island hop throughout the day if you wanted to.
And to get to the, because I've only flown into the BVI, I've never flown into the USVI. You don't have to have a passport to go there, right? Because it is, or do you still need a passport? You don't.
USVI, you don't need a passport.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Right. So it is easier to go to because it is what, like a territory or something of the US. Yeah. So it's like, a little bit for people that might want to start out with, you know, a lower key experience, not having to go through customs and all that. That seems like a good place to start too.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
It's a great spot. And, you know, St. John's probably one of our favorites, like she said, but we really like the other kind of the quiet islands, what we call the out islands of the Bahamas. So we took a trip to Cat Island. You know, I think only 3,000 people live there, but it's like 90 miles long. So it's very, very raw and untouched. And we always try to explore those, you know, those type of places because everybody's, you know, Nassau is Nassau. It's built up. It's a big cruise port.
You kind of feel like you're in Miami. And we live in Florida. So it like it just doesn't have that. I mean, I'm sure different parts of Nassau, you know, have that rural island. It's not as stuffy as it is when you're in the heart of Nassau, like at the port area. But yeah, we love the out islands, which is always like Cat Island, Long Island, which we haven't been to Long Island yet, but we want to. But we really do love those desolate, quiet
so cool
locations where you're just exploring on your own kind of thing.
We got to Cat Island and we were located really close to the fish fries. So if you don't know what the local fish fries are like, it's like on Cat Island, it's about five or six little wooden beach bars or huts or something like that, almost like their downtown area. And we walked up to this first one and there was about five or six people there watching a black and white old Western. And we just grabbed a stump and grabbed a cold click and just like sat and watched old Western movies with some locals and there were cats running around. It was a really cool experience. And that was like our first night there, I think. It just kind of set the stage for an awesome trip.
And the whole reason why I wanted to go to Cat Island was just because it was named Cat.
I was going to say, are there a lot of cats there? Is that why it's called that?
There's just that one spot. There's actually more dogs, or what they call pot cakes, like stray dogs on the islands are called pot cakes. And there's a lot of them there. But yeah, you don't really see many cats.
That's such a cute name. I kind of want to name a pet that now. Pot cake. Well, I know that you, Crystal, you're a big animal lover. And I was listening to your podcast and you were telling the story about the goat. And I empathize so hard with that story, like how you're talking about how you couldn't sleep for like a couple of nights worrying about like what happened to this baby goat. Like, that's literally me. I would have been like, okay, but we can't leave this goat. Or like, if we have to, I would have been like just worried about it for the rest of
I was like, we went to the beach afterwards so many times. I'm like, can we just go back? Can you just check up home and see how he is? Like, I felt horrible. I'm like, now I need to bring like a veterinarian kit with me when I go travel, because I need to make sure if I come across an animal, I want to make sure I can take care of it.
I am right there with you. I'm right there with you. I'm like such a sucker. And like, I probably would have cried if I like had to like not be able to totally help. And I'm just like, oh my God, the worst.
Thank you so much for understanding. And I loved when I heard your podcast, when you're talking to Mark from the Key West, and you're like, what's his name? Hemingway's house.
Oh yeah.
Like, I love cats. And I'm like, I'm gonna get along with this girl. Great.
Yeah. I know, when I heard your goat story, I was like, yep, kindred spirits right here. I like really love the Hemingway house. It's like I said on that podcast, like one of my favorite places. Someday I'd really like to do an episode from there and just be like, so cats, what do you think? And then just be like awkward silence.
I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, definitely. Since you love animals so much, have you ever been to the, was it Staniel Key with all the pigs?
Yes. Was it Daniel?
It's right next to
Big Majors. Yeah. Yeah. Big Majors. Yeah. We did go there once. You've been there twice, right?
Three times.
We did go there back in I got to go see it in 2016, and it was right after Hurricane Matthew. So the pigs have not been fed for quite some time. And so I guess they were biting people more than usual. Luckily we didn't get bit, but we had like the island all to ourselves. And usually it's pretty packed with tourists. We had like the island with pigs all ourselves when we went there.
Yeah, and that later that night, because you know they hadn't been fed, you know, usually all the tourists bring like fruit and snacks and the pigs eat that. Well, we were at Staniel Key at the yacht club having dinner, and there was a couple that was, you know, on Pig Beach, and that they saw us there, and she was like very, very friendly, right? So she's like, I got bit, and she showed me basically her butt. Like, here's a picture of my butt on my phone.
And there's like, black and blue.
Black and blue part. She had to go get like a tetanus shot at this little bitty island, you know, not
like
a
clinic.
Yeah. But
oh
it was
my God.
Funny
poor
animal.
Pigs.
I know. I have another story there trying to help a pig, because we brought a bag of carrots for them. And because they were so hungry, they basically just ripped it out of Ryan's hand and went to town. And then one of the pigs took the plastic bag and like ran into the woods with it. And I'm like, I don't want him to eat the bag and like die. So I go running into the woods chasing this pig. And Ryan's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, he needs help. I can't have him eat plastic.
We didn't know what was in those woods. You can't just go like,
I don't know.
But just more pigs. Drinks.
It's probably giving him courage too, but.
Yeah, no, I probably would have done the same thing for sure. Or like, even if he didn't eat it, it would have like blown into the ocean and then like killed a fish or something. Like, I definitely would have also run into the woods after that.
I always find myself nowadays like just picking up trash every time I see it, because I'm like, I'm so sick of seeing like everywhere you go on the beaches and islands and stuff, it's just everywhere. So I'm like the garbage lady and on the beach.
Well, I think that's actually an interesting point, because like I feel that way too. And I recently have started really following, since I started this podcast, I've really started following a lot of accounts like on Instagram and Twitter and stuff that I didn't really like used to follow with my personal account. And I've gotten a lot more into like following like different ocean conservation accounts and like, especially like I'm really interested in like shark conservation. So there's like I'm really interested in that kind of thing. Do you guys have any of that? Do you have any sort of like I know like your main thing is, you know, to help people and be like, hey, like, we want to help you make your trip great and do all this, but do you have any sort of like personal causes that are like close to you in that kind of way?
Yeah, we're launching a new product in September, and we really want to give back. So I did a whole bunch of research on what charity to support. And we really wanted to make sure it was, you know, kind of Caribbean wide instead of just a local type thing, but it was, you know, grassroots. So where all the money actually went to the issues and not to pay for salaries. So believe it or not, it was hard to narrow down the perfect charity, but what we actually landed on was Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Reefs. So he kind of pushes that out there and sells cups and shirts, but all those proceeds go to an organization called Reef Ball Foundation. And what they do is, you know, the reefs are beat up, you know, all over the world. And this team creates these underwater kind of concrete structures that are specially designed to really, I guess, promote reef growth. So all the fish come back and all these things, you know, really help out the environment where once the reef was dead, it kind of brings it back to life. And then, so that's awesome. That's the Reef Ball Foundation. And then the other side is the, it's called Deep. And so their whole thing is getting the plastics out of the water. And I, like Crystal said, I can't stand plastic being in the water. And in the Caribbean, you know, it's not as bad as some of the places I've seen over in the South Pacific and stuff like that. But this company, this charity called Deep actually makes clothing, you know, those like SunTech, really nice boat shirts and stuff like that. They actually make shirts out of, you know, recycled plastic that they get out of the oceans. So I think plastic and reefs are our big things that we'd like to support.
Awesome. That's so great. I didn't even honestly, like, I never do plan questions out ahead of time. So like, I didn't even know that that was a actual thing that you had going with your new product that you're talking about the new card, right? Do you want to talk about that a little bit right now, since it's sort of a good segue?
Sure. It's called the Caribbean Preferred Card. And basically, you know, we always talk about, you know, getting people down to the island so they can see all this stuff. And we did a big survey back in the beginning of the year and tried to figure out what were the biggest roadblocks to people traveling. And time and money were, you know, the biggest ones. And if we can help, you know, lower the money barrier to seeing some of these amazing locations, you know, we're going to have happy to do that. And because we've been doing this little gig for so long, we know a lot of businesses down in the Caribbean. And so we partner with them and they're happy to offer, you know, $50 off charters or 10% off villa rentals. And we got hundreds of these. And we're going to give those discounts to our Caribbean Preferred Card members. And that happens in September. And but yeah, we're really excited to kind of help people save money. And hopefully when they can travel down there more.
And I think you mentioned that there's also some if people get the card but aren't traveling yet, there's some like online discounts that they can get as well. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. I know Papa's Pilar, they're giving 10% off if you buy anything from them online. Yeah. And there's another
Caribbean
one.
Caribbean Trading Company. There's some interesting things out of Jamaica. We're getting a lot of people that want to put their businesses on from Jamaica, but some really cool online shops there, local jewelry. And so, yeah, they're going to have promo codes on the pages that we're creating right now. And so people don't have to actually travel. They can just pop in the Castaway promo codes and boom, there they go. Some cool island stuff.
Island swag.
Awesome. I'm so excited. Like, that's such a cool thing to help people save money, but then also to know now that there's kind of this backside where you're also going to be using some of the proceeds or whatever to help support reef health and the plastic initiative. I love that a lot of like companies nowadays are adding sort of that, philanthropic element. Like a couple of the swimsuit companies that I've like learned about recently is like all their swimsuits are made from like recycled materials from the ocean, like you were saying with that other company. And then also, a company that makes a product, then donates part of their proceeds to ocean conservation or whatever. Like, I feel like we're seeing that a lot more with companies nowadays. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. I think it's such an important thing. Like if you can, like, we're not in this to get rich by any means. And if we can, you know, definitely, you know, clean up or keep these places as beautiful as they are, I mean, we're happy to do what little part that we can. And you do see some of the damage when you're down there, and, you know, you can see it on the reefs and you can see plastic floating around every once in a while. And we always try and grab it when we're on a boat or something, and we'll turn around on the boat just to pick up a plastic bottle or something. But, I think it's super important to, you know, keep these places as beautiful as they can, because there's a big thing right now where people are getting into what's called the sustained tourism. Mm-hmm. And so that's like lower impact type tourism. So you don't get all this damage and plastic and trash. And so that's an interesting movement that's happening right now. But we just try to help out any way we can, really.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. I really appreciate that about you guys. And I guess I didn't even know that was a thing until just now, but I think that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, and you sort of touch on this in your behind the scenes, but about what it takes sort of like personally and emotionally to do this. So like, I know you've mentioned before, like Ryan, you're a little more introverted, and Crystal, you were saying like, when you started the podcast, you really weren't comfortable with doing that. And I also am a very introverted person and, have a hard time kind of talking to people. So this, doing a podcast like this, where I'm meeting new people, like a lot of people I've interviewed I had never met before, is kind of an out of a comfort zone thing for me, but that's kind of why I'm trying to do it.
You do a great job.
Well, you are also doing a great job. So I feel like we've both grown a lot, but yeah. I guess that was going to be my question is, has this, doing this project, helped you grow as individuals and maybe like together as a couple?
Yes, on both accounts, because as an individual, you know, like you said, you're constantly pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and just taking things as they come. Whereas like I said, in the thing, like I wanted more of like structure and to have like a script basically, yeah, written out. So I know what to say, because by nature, like I'm always fumbling over my words, or like it's like I had the word on tip of my tongue, but I can't get it out. So I just don't want to be like, you know, mumbling around on the podcast all the time. So that was something I had to get over. And basically, you know, I think it's helping me learn to talk more eloquently or better, you know, that you're forcing yourself to do that. And then as a couple, you know, it's learning to work together and to be patient with one another. Yeah. And patience is always a big thing in relationships.
So, yeah, like, you know, when I said like I was an introvert, you know, there's times when we were on the islands and like I just kind of want to relax, because there's that whole duty of wanting to go and take pictures. And I'm like, I just want to chill out. And this great example happened on St. John in December, where there's a beach bar across the street, and it was really, you know, ornate and creative, tons of good photo spots. And we just got done doing a little video, and Crystal wanted to go do pictures, and I didn't want to go do pictures, and
he was done. He was spent. He's like, I just want to enjoy the ocean and relax.
But she was absolutely right. Like the sun looked great. It was a great time. And so I have to step out of my comfort zone and, you know, do stuff that I don't want to do, or, you know, learn more patience, I should say. And I've learned a lot of patience, I think, because where I was when I was younger, it was really bad. So like she said, everything's a learning experience. And if you can become a better human being at, you know, stepping outside the box and doing things that make you uncomfortable, all the better, right? So,
right.
Yeah, definitely. Do you go on vacations to other places not in the Caribbean? And if so, do you either enjoy those more because you don't feel obligated to make content, or B, do you feel guilty because you feel like you should be going to the Caribbean?
That is a good question. We do travel other places. Like we try to make a pack, which not this year's, but
yeah,
we wanted to see at least one or two states, you know, a year or two, to like kind of, you know, break it up, to see other things, to experience other things. Like I love the islands, but I love everything. Like I can love the mountains and I can love the beaches, you know, so I want to experience everything I possibly can in life.
Yeah, we did a trip to Pittsburgh, and honestly, it was one of my favorite trips because, you know, like you mentioned, we didn't have to do any of the content. We were just there for pure pleasure and exploring some of Crystal's roots up there. And it was a cool way because we didn't have any agendas and stuff. And even this past trip down to the Virgin Islands, which was supposed to be just a complete vacation for your mother, there were still a few things that we had to do to, you know, make the trip happen. And that was content wise. And so it wasn't a free and clear vacation, but there was still those things we had to do. And that's why some of the state trips are a lot of fun, because it's just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can imagine, like, even if, like you said, it's mostly supposed to be a vacation in the Caribbean, if you're in the Caribbean, you're like, well, we should probably just shoot this photo, or we should probably just do the X thing, because it's probably hard. Like, I know even for me, and like, my podcast is very small and it is not in any way a business, but like, sometimes I lie awake at night thinking like, oh, I should do that for the podcast, or I should, you know, so it's kind of hard to turn that off sometimes. And I feel like, especially if it's like a business in some way, it seems like it might be hard to kind of like draw that boundary sometimes.
It definitely is. I mean, I'm kind of always in content creative mode when we go out and stuff like that. And it is consuming of our lives to some degree, you know, but it's fun. But at the same time too, it's like, cause you're always thinking about content. And, you know, it is definitely hard to unplug from that.
But if you have that passion for that area. So like, honestly, like if we weren't Caribbean castaways and it was just Ryan and Crystal going down the islands, we'd be shooting pictures in doing stuff and just sharing them with our friends.
That's true.
But, you know, there just wouldn't be all the
as much pressure
behind it.
I mean, it's still fun, but at the same time, there is somewhat pressure when you do things, you know, or, you know, sounds horrible to say, but like, you know, people with those vanity numbers and stuff like that,
right,
it's like something is always kind of the back of your mind. Whereas if you like I have another channel, it's called Crystal's Critters, and it's just all my nature photography.
Ooh, and I'm gonna follow that one.
And I have a lot of fun with that one. I just post whenever I want to, and there's just no pressure, and it's just a fun outlet for me, you know? So there's a great difference between the feeling of posting there and posting on Caribbean Castaways. But the same thing, like before I ever did this, before even social media was a thing. I mean, when I took pictures, I would take pictures like you were there and you could flip through them, like back when you used to print them out.
Right.
And like it was like a movie, because I'm so obsessed with taking pictures anyways, that is still a good fit for me. Like it's something I just do naturally, honestly.
So it's not that hard to be like, oh, I need to take pictures, because you would just be doing that anyway.
Yeah,
no matter
exactly.
What.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. At least that it's not like a total, I mean, I guess like everyone who goes on vacation generally takes pictures. I know I do, but like, I feel like the kind of pictures that I might take normally, oh, here's a picture of a palm tree or whatever. Or like, but maybe, you know, when it's your guys's thing that you're doing, it's like, okay, well, maybe we need to be in the pictures more. Or like, do you feel like you are taking different kinds of photos for the chant or for your Instagram and stuff that maybe you would just take if you were on vacation?
Definitely, because there are some posing, and actually we probably take least amount of pictures of ourselves, and we try to do more
scenery, landscape,
scenic landscape pictures. But every now and then I'm like, okay, maybe we need some of us actually.
Just show there's real people doing
this. Yeah. And so that's the thing we've been trying to get into more and experiment more with, like actually using a tripod and getting nice pictures instead of just selfies and things like that. And then it's like, I mean, I assume like if you're taking just a normal vacation, most people wouldn't be like, all right, let's set up the tripod and let's get the best photos ever.
Right. Like, let's get our drone out. And like, like there's definitely a lot of tools. I mean, I don't have any of those tools. I just have like a really old iPhone that I use to take pictures of things, but I'm also not like a professional blogger. So I feel like there's a ton of like cool toys and things you can use for that kind of stuff nowadays, for sure.
It's like never ending. You're just like, oh, I need this gadget. Yeah. I need this.
I know. I feel like right now, like you said, just like wanting to do something because you're passionate about it and would do it anyway. Like, that's why I started the podcast. But like, the more I do it, the more I'm like, okay, well, maybe I need to upgrade my microphone, and maybe I need to like have a website, and you know, and it's like, okay, like I do want to do those things, but also like, am I going to like talk myself out of it being fun if I get too invested in it in a way that like, it's not, I mean, just doing it for me, I'm not making money or anything. So it's like, at some point, is there like a line? I'm sure it's easier if you are making money though, to be like, okay, well, I'm spending all this time on a thing, but like, it's kind of like a job, or for, you know, for you, Ryan, it is your job now. So, I'm sure that probably makes it a little easier to dedicate the energy to it probably.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a give and take type thing, as far as, you know, your goals on, you know, making money doing something versus your passion. But honestly, like, I enjoy every single little aspect of running this as a business. So the podcasts are fun. I love doing the website stuff. And it's, you know, I was basically doing all this stuff already, but for other people. So when I worked at a marketing agency, I had like 4 or 5 clients and I ran all their Facebook pages and ads and made changes to their websites and created these strategies and lead funnels and all that fun stuff. But I was making other people lots of money and I was not making any for myself. And I was right. like, I think we should, you know, flip the switch on this. And, you know, I would do Caribbean Castaways if I didn't get paid, but like, let's see what would happen if we can put some of these, you know, business strategies to work for us. And it's been fun. I absolutely love, you know, the islands and helping other people do that. And if we can make a, you know, a buck here or there, just to, like I said, not to be rich, but just to be comfortable and be able to basically pay for our travel. I mean, that's actually why we do it. So that's really it.
Right. That's the dream for sure. Yeah. It's like, oh, we can go on a trip. Even if you have to work on the trip, you're still in the Caribbean. Although yeah. you guys live in Florida, which is also a sort of tropical place yeah. to live. So I'm sure it's not, you know, it's not like you're like living in Michigan and somewhere yeah. like, oh, we got to get to the Caribbean.
I know it's funny. We went to Aruba once and these other tourists, they're like, so where are you guys from? We're like, Florida. And they're like, then why'd you come here? They're like, you have to be there. I'm like, it's totally different.
And we like, live in Fort palm trees, but it's not the right. Caribbean.
No. And in the water. I mean, our water here, unfortunately, in Fort Myers is almost brown a lot of the times because we're very close to the Coosawhatchie River and it drains in. It makes it more of a brown color than a nice blue color. So when you go see the piercing blue waters in the Bahamas and Caribbean and we come back to our brown water, we're just like, meh. It's sad. Yeah, it's sad. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you ever like dream of this being a full time in the extent that like you would actually try and move to the Caribbean, or is that like not a thing you would want to do?
There was a time we talked about it. He was really set on wanting to move to St. John. Me, I don't know if I'd ever really want to move. It would have to depend on our financial situation because it's so expensive to live there that, you know, a lot of people that live there, they're working 3 jobs, you know. And it's like, well, you could go and visit and relax and enjoy yourself or work yourself to death and then maybe see the beach once here and there, you know, like. There's a lot of good take to it. So if our finances were ever amazing, then yes.
Yeah, right. Okay. So everybody follow Caribbean Castaways. Right. Give them all your money. I just really love, so I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show. It's called Caribbean Life. It's a hunting show. So like, I don't know, like I probably would never actually move to the Caribbean, but like watching that show and just like getting to see all the house, like I love looking at real estate. So like getting to see all the houses is like it, but then also you're like seeing right the water. They usually at some point in the in an episode go on like a excursion, like diving or something. It's like, that's like a really great escape. Even if I'm never actually going to move there, to be like, oh, well, if I was going to move there, I would pick that house or I would pick that house. You guys have watched that show before.
Oh yeah. We love it.
We just watched one. It was in Long Island, Bahamas. And like Crystal mentioned earlier, we haven't been there yet, but it's on our list. And so we watched this couple, I think it was a really nice Russian couple, and there was going to be their second house. And the guy flies in on like his own little seaplane. I was like, oh my God, like what kind of life is that? It's just like magical. And I mean, that's a life Jimmy Buffett lives too. I mean, he sails his boats around and his airplanes and all that stuff. And it's basically that Jimmy Buffett lifestyle that a lot of people seek out, and seeing people make that happen on like shows like Caribbean Life and Bahamas Life. It's just like, it's super inspirational. And so we look at these houses and start to like, just dream basically of like, oh, I want that ceiling. Oh, that kitchen's no good. You know? It's like, it's fun stuff.
I know. My favorite is like, when they're like, okay, you know, they go into the house and they're like, I don't know, like this kitchen countertop isn't, we need to change it. Like I have to have stainless steel appliances. And I'm like, you're in the Caribbean. I would live in a shack. Like why do you need to have stainless steel appliances? Like, but I guess, you know, it's just like house hunting anywhere else. Like you people have specific things that they want. But in my mind, I'm like, you're getting to move to the Caribbean. Like, why are you that focused on like what kind of countertops you have?
I know. I was totally right there with you. I was like, it's not that bad of a house. Just take it.
Yeah, like I could live there. It's fine. Like when whatever fixing up you want to do. It's like, I could also live there if it didn't have any of those changes. Right. So like, just give it to me and then I will move there. yeah, I guess like that's a good way to maybe like get some suggestions and see a little bit of some islands that you haven't seen before is like watching shows like that and getting like, oh, like that's a cool place. That's a cool place. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite like water? Do you sail or scuba dive? Like, do you have favorite activities to do when you're in the Caribbean?
We're kind of getting our feet wet into scuba diving a little bit. So we went to Little Cayman and it's basically a diving island, like just stunning, stunning reefs. And the Bloody Bay Wall is there. And we stayed at a little place called Pirates Point Resort. And we went out and did a discovery dive. And that's basically, if you're not certified, they give you a little bit of pool work and then they take you out on the reef and you can only go like 40 feet. But it was like, that's all you need. And yeah, it was magical, and like I really want to get signed up. Crystal's a little hesitant because her ears didn't clear on the first one, but
yeah. So they let us have two dives, and my ears, they didn't equalize, so I couldn't get all the way down, and they were like kind of hurting, like not popping right or whatever. So they had to set me back up. But then the second dive, I was able to get down. So yeah, that's why I'm a little reluctant to pull the trigger because I'm just like spending all this money on scuba diving, and if my ears don't work properly,
there's so many animals down there.
I know there's a lot of so I actually have an issue with my ears not clearing always either, and if it's like really bad and just like will not clear, it's not pleasant to do, but if you snort the seawater up your nose a little bit, it's not great, but it will help your ears clear and then you can dive. So that's just a tip from me to you.
Oh wow. So you're an avid diver then?
I haven't been in a really long time because I live in the desert, but I did this sailing study abroad program that was it's called Seamaster, and when I was in college, and basically you're just the crew on a sailing ship and you sail around to all these islands in the Caribbean. And the PE credit was becoming certified scuba diver. So I've been scuba diving a lot in that like 4 month span, but then the rest of my life, unfortunately, I have not had as many opportunities. But it's really fun. I love it.
Yeah. And then it's so funny because like we love going to the islands and we love relaxing in the water, but we really haven't been avid snorkelers either until like this last year. One of the turtles. Yeah. One of the girls we knew or have met on St. John, she took us on this random snorkeling trip on Maho Bay, which Maho is known for all the sea turtles that hang out there.
It's magical.
And it was so, so magical. So that's definitely one spot to snorkel. And I'm definitely getting more into snorkeling now after that experience. And, it's just awesome to see sea turtles like that.
Yeah. And we really like sailing. So I tried to get a old crusty captain to give me sailing lessons up here in Fort Myers. And I probably went out, you know, maybe 10 times with him. And he had a small lagoon catamaran that was really beat up. But he would do little charters on it. And I would be the one who sailed it as he was, you know, doing whatever he's doing. And I learned a lot about it. I wouldn't say I'm proficient enough to go and down to the BVI and be the captain of a chartered boat, but there's just something special about, you know, turning off the motors and just going where the wind takes you and island hopping that way. Romantic, I guess is the word. And it's just a very, very cool feeling. And so I definitely love the sailing part and
yeah.
Yeah, I love to sail too. Before, obviously, like it really got destroyed in the hurricane and they're rebuilding right now. But before that, have you ever been to the Bitter End Yacht Club before?
Yeah, back in, I forget the year, I think it was 2015, we were on a week-long bareboat charter. We had two boats and we anchored in North Sound. And so I got to have dinner and breakfast there at the Bitter End. Didn't make it to Saber Rock. So that was all destroyed. That both Bitter End and Saber Rock were closed when we went to Virgin Gorda on our honeymoon. And that was 3 weeks before the hurricanes hit, Irma and Maria. So Bitter End still basically closed. Saber Rock is opening, I think, in 2021. So they're getting close to kind of coming back, but we didn't get to see them in all their glory, basically.
Yeah, I just bring it up because Bitterend is a great place to stay if you want to do like some sailing and water sports, but not like be in charge of your own boat the whole time, because they have a lot of like smaller sailboats that you can just like take out in the little harbor there and sail around. That was where, when I did my study abroad, we actually like learned sailing basics. Like first thing, we used the Bitterend. I've never actually stayed at the Bitterend Yacht Club, but I have used their little sailboats to learn how to sail. So, and my parents actually have stayed there before, and it's like one of their favorite places to stay in the Caribbean. So, so hopefully if they, you know, it seems like they're, you know, on their way to getting rebuilt, and hopefully we can go back there again sometime. But yeah, definitely in terms of like, if for people who want to maybe dabble in learning some sailing or water sports, like that's a great place to stay, because they have a ton of yeah. options for smaller vessels that you can just like take out with one or two people and learn how to sail around. So
that would be fun.
Yeah. So I would be remiss before we go to not talk about drinking a little bit, because, you know, your name is Rum Shop Ryan. And I know you have like had in the past, like done cocktail recipes and stuff. And you have an actual book, right? Is that true?
Yeah, we did a Castaway Cocktails book, and there are 52 drinks in there. And some of them are my own creation. Some of them are like Caribbean favorites, like Painkillers and Bushwhackers and Goombay Smashes. But there's 52 in there. Each one has like a little personal story attached to it, because I think when, like, even today when I drink a painkiller, if I make it here, it's, my mind takes me back to the very first time I had a painkiller, and that was on the boat, and we were in between Joost Van Dyke and St. John, and I had like four or five of them that day. And it, every time I drink one, it takes me back to that day. So if people can make these cocktails at home, and hopefully that little bit of escapism, you know, in a cup can take them back to the, you know, the first time they had a painkiller, Goombay Smash, or a Killer Bee from Sunshines or something like that.
Cool. That's really awesome. Do you have a favorite, we'll say favorite cocktail, like fancy cocktail, and then what's your favorite just like easy drinking thing, like beer, wine, or that kind of thing?
You're a wine girl.
well, actually, it's funny you're talking about drinking, because Ryan's actually sipping on a rum punch right now.
I feel like I always on this podcast, I'm like, I should be drinking while I do this. And then I like, it's 9 a.m. my time. Right. And I'm like, I don't know if I really like want to be drinking.
You're a pirate. It's okay.
I am wearing like a piratey related shirt right now, so I guess that would be all right. But I feel like I always just get distracted and focused on like setting up the podcast and stuff, and then I never actually have a drink. Right. But in theory, like the feeling of this podcast, I'm glad that you're having a drink, at least somebody is. So like, what are your favorites?
For normal, just everyday drinking or whatever, like I usually just go for regular beer, like a Michelob, Miller Lite. Wine, I really like Riesling or a Moscato. I don't get super fancy. I mean, I think the fanciest I go is like a mimosa, yeah. You know?
Yeah, we're pretty low key. I'll drink, you know, Miller Lite and Corona Lite are kind of my go-tos, but I make rum punch a lot at the house, and basically it's just like, you know, one or two rums, and I call it poor man's rum punch, because I don't go all like fresh squeeze like they do in the islands. I just use like a V8 splash juice, which is like a berry blend. And I add that with some rum, and it's a poor man's rum punch. And that's probably what I do most often at the house. But like favorite island drinks, I definitely had to say the painkiller, the sunshine Killer Bee from Nevis. I got some good stories I probably can't go into. the Killer Bees, but it was a great time with some locals and the people we were sailing with, and I think the Killer Bee made that happen. But it's just, there's so many. Every island has their own special rum punch. So like, when in doubt in the Caribbean, just go into the beach bar and order a rum punch. Everybody has their own recipes. They all taste different, and they all taste amazing, you know, made with local rums and stuff like that. And every bar is very proud of their own recipe. So I usually try and do that when we're traveling. It's just be a connoisseur of the local rums and the rum punch.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great suggestion. Cause yeah, like you said, everywhere kind of has a rum punch. My favorite is also the painkiller. It's just so delicious.
Yeah,
it's funny that you said the thing about the poor man's rum punch, because I have made a couple of these like Quarren cocktails videos, which is like me trying to put together a cocktail with the random ingredients I have in my house during quarantine because I like can't go anywhere. Right. And so and I don't have like an, because my husband's a brewer, so we mostly drink beer. So I don't have like an extensive like cocktail cupboard built up or anything. So it's like, okay, what can I make with like the three random old half bottles of alcohol or whatever? But I did one of a painkiller and I called it not as good as Soggy Dollar painkiller because it was just like, it was like close, like all of the ingredients were pretty much there, but like not good versions of all of the ingredients, you know, right. What I mean? So that just funny, it was funny to me because it reminded me of the poor man's rum punch. But you know, you gotta make do with what you have. Yeah, like you know, better to go for it than not, you know. That's would you say rum is your favorite hard alcohol, or is it, I know like the rum shop Ryan thing is more about like the rum shop as a place,
right,
but do you like, is rum your favorite, is there something.
Yeah,
I'm a rum guy.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm looking at our rum cabinet right now, and at its peak, it probably had 50 or 60 bottles. And honestly, during quarantine, the rum disappeared quite a bit. So yeah. I think there's only maybe 15 bottles left. Like, we didn't drink those just me by myself all those months, but like, it was, rum's probably my go-to, and it's so cool that each one is, you know, very different, and there's so much art that goes into making rums. We have some very good friends in Key West, Sean Martin. He's actually a rum maker there at Papa's Pilar down there in Bahama Bob. So
would he want to be on the podcast?
100%.
I would love to talk to someone who makes rum. That would be so interesting.
He's a really cool guy. Lots of, he's have one of those really cool lives where he's like he's a scientist and he's a teacher at a college. He makes rum. He's a dive instructor down there. He's like a really cool island man. I'm really proud of him for how far he's come. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, definitely rum. And that's really about it. Just beer and rum.
Yeah.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah.
I definitely think like, excuse me, as I've gotten older, when I was younger, it used to be like tequila, right? I was like, yeah, tequila. But as I got older, I was like, really, rum is the thing that I want to drink the most in terms of like hard alcohols. And like you said, there's so many different kinds. And probably the next time I like go places again, like Key West or the Caribbean, I'll like start to maybe try and start a collection a little bit, like you were saying, because what this quarantine thing taught me was that like, sometimes I do want to make cocktails. And then like, all I have is like a big jug of like Sailor Jerry spiced rum.
Right.
Which is fine for quarantine cocktails. But like in my life, like I feel like I would rather have some, you know, delicious options. And if they come from far away places, that's even better. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will send you the Castaway cocktails and you can, have at it. Yeah.
You do not have to do that. I was actually like, after we were just talking about it, I was like, I'm going to go buy that book after. Cause I definitely am not I haven't made a lot of cocktails in my day, I guess. So I'm definitely like a recipe, as much as the Quarren cocktails is kind of me just like making something up. Like in real life, I'm like, okay, I want to have like a cool recipe book of things to make. So I would be happy to purchase it. but I think we probably about time to wrap up here, but before we go, I just want to mention again, like you talked about it earlier, but the preferred card is coming out soon. And do you want to talk about where else, like where all people can find you, anything else you have going on?
Yeah. So if they want to sign up early for the Caribbean preferred card, all they have to do is go to CaribbeanCastaways.com/notify. And that'll bring up a form. And then in September, when it comes out, we'll send out an email to everybody who's interested and then kind of go from there. And then they can get all the discounts that they want. But you want to tell everybody our channels?
Yeah. So if you ever want us to follow us, you can find us on Instagram at Caribbean Castaways. You can find us on YouTube at Caribbean Castaways. And you can find us on Facebook at Caribbean Castaways. And then also you can find our blogs and some resources and stuff on CaribbeanCastaways.com.
Yep.
And if people have questions or things, do you have like an email or should they just go to the website and they can contact you there?
Yeah, they can hit us up on the website. There's a contact form and then you can email me directly if they want, ryan@caribbeancastaways.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on, guys. It was a really great convo, and I feel like, you know, we have a lot in common. So maybe someday we can meet in person and hang out in the Caribbean or Florida or wherever.
That'd be great. Yeah. Please keep in touch.
Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.
All right. So that was a great time. I really like meeting new people because of this podcast, especially ones that I have a lot in common with. And I feel like I definitely have a lot in common with these guys. Obviously, if they like the Caribbean, like that's already something that I have in common with them. But also they just seem like cool people. And one of the things about this podcast that I wasn't planning for, but am excited about is maybe like making friends with people that while I might not really know them in person, someday maybe I could meet them in person. So if I ever travel down there, if we ever travel anywhere again, these guys are some really cool people to know. And until then, I definitely have been enjoying their podcast. So I recommend you check that out. I hope that this helped you. If you're into the Caribbean, like I hope that you will use them as a resource because they definitely have been to a lot of places. And like they said, they really like to share the kind of off the beaten path type of places, not always the typical, like really touristy places that you would just be able to go anywhere. It's kind of like, you know, when you're on a cruise and, you know, you get off and they're like, okay, well, here's like the three sort of activities that we already have set up that you can do. But like sometimes you want to go do other stuff, you know, you want to get into like the real culture of the island, not just like whatever your cruise ship director has lined up. So that's what these guys are there to help you with. Go to their website, check it out, follow them on social media. Definitely sign up for that preferred card if you think it's something that you'd be interested in. I mean, who doesn't want discounts? I know I want discounts. I don't know when I'll be going to the Caribbean next, but when I do, probably will want some discounts. So I hope that was great and helpful to you. They're just cool people. So the one thing I wanted to actually mention before I sign off here is that I know I've mentioned the last few episodes about sharing your stories of your times in your life or events in your life that really you relate to a specific Jimmy Buffett song. Your Jimmy Buffett song stories, essentially. And I haven't really gotten very many, so I don't think I'm going to be able to do a whole segment or anything. But I think definitely I've decided what I'm going to do is just start sharing one story per episode. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to start that next episode. I'll just share one person's story, and then the next episode I'll share one person's story, and et cetera. So, and I don't have that many, but you can still send them in if you would like. Just email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment. I have social media posts up for specifically asking about this. If you look through my social medias, you will find that post because it has a picture of Jimmy Buffett's book, Salty Piece of Land. You can leave a comment in any post, but that's the post that I specifically put up to be like, hey, share your stories with me. Go do that if you have a story you want to share. And if not, I'll just share the few that I have accumulated so far over the next few episodes. And you can follow me at Blame Buffett Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, or Blame It on Buffett Podcast if you actually like type out the whole thing on Facebook. And please, if you're enjoying the podcast, go leave me a rating on Apple Podcasts. If you're not enjoying it, then that's okay too. But you don't need to leave a rating. I mean, you can, but I especially encourage you to do so if you have been enjoying the podcast and have something that you want to say and share with your friends. I think this kind of thing, word of mouth, is really important to get this kind of podcast out there, just because it is sort of a lifestyle podcast. So if you know someone, and you know, it's called Blame It on Buffett, And I wanted to have Buffett in the title because it is really inspired by Jimmy Buffett. But the whole podcast is really not, like, you heard them on the interview today. They were like, oh, are we going to need to, like, know about Jimmy Buffett? Like, no, it's fine. So I don't want people to think that, like, oh, like, only this podcast is only for people who like Jimmy Buffett, because really it's just for people that enjoy that sort of escapism lifestyle, whether or not they like Jimmy Buffett or not. I mean, we might talk about Jimmy Buffett some, but like if this, like this episode, for example, like if you want to travel to the Caribbean, then this episode's for you. Like, no Jimmy Buffett necessary, if that's not your thing. So please share with anyone you think would be interested. I really appreciate your thoughts, your, you know, how you're feeling about the podcast. Let me know and let your friends know. And yeah, I just really grateful to have you all who listen as listeners. I love hearing from you guys. And I feel like this podcast is something that I started not knowing like how it would go or where it would take me, but I've met some really awesome people, and this is the 15th episode, and I think I'm going to, you know, hopefully keep doing it for a while. So, if I can do it, you can do it. And remember, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero from way in the past. And I sang his songs and had island dreams before I ever read the man up a mask. Blame it on Buffett. We took the